Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word and his sacrament. Let Israel be glad in his maker.
Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king.
Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song.
His praise
in
the assembly of God.
Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let them praise his name with dancing. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. Let the godly exult in glory. Let the high praises of God be in their throats. To execute vengeance on the nations. To bind their kings with chains. To execute on them the judgment written.
This is honor for all his godly ones. Praise the Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let Israel be glad in his Maker. The Old Testament reading for the last Sunday of the church year is from Isaiah chapter 65. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be. And my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb that shall graze together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman. And they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins, who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How is Jesus coming? Whenever we reach the end of the church year, that's always when we start talking more about how the end of the world is going to happen. And you can see that very clearly in our readings for today, where you hear talk of the new creation, of the next world. You hear talk of how we're supposed to be living our lives even now, waiting for that. And in our gospel, you hear of how quickly it's going to come. But you have heard this before as well. You all know this. You know that when Jesus comes, he's going to come like a thief in the night. You don't expect the thief to come. You're going to be surprised by him coming. Even we who are believers have not been told the exact date or given any way to figure out the exact date of when Jesus is going to return. It's going to be a surprise for us. It's going to come upon us suddenly. And notice how Paul talks about it in our text for today from 1 Thessalonians. It's going to come upon us as a sudden destruction, like labor pains. There's other places in the Bible where it talks about how the earth, the creation itself, is groaning. Groaning as it waits. And recognize that we also know this. We're not going to be able to escape it. No one is going to be able to escape it. We're not going to be able to run and hide somewhere when Jesus comes back. The Bible tells us this over and over and over again. And so you know that you are encouraged to expect the unexpected in some ways. And recognize that this is the exact opposite of how the world is working. The world is expecting to continue. It's expecting to continue forever, into eternity. And the world is expecting that, well, somehow or another, this world can be saved. But despite the fact that that isn't what you believe, that isn't what you have heard, it's easy to fall asleep, isn't it? Notice in our story here from Matthew that all 10 of the virgins, even the faithful ones, even the ones that had the oil, they still fell asleep when they were supposed to be waiting. Notice the end of our text here today from 1 Thessalonians that Paul is encouraging us to not fall asleep, to stay awake, to stay aware, to stay ready. But he also recognizes that it's easy to fall asleep. It's easy for us to forget. It's easy for us to drown our worries. And you can do that using alcohol, or you can do that using anything else. There's lots of ways to not be sober. And it's not just talking about drugs and alcohol. You can drown yourself in, creation. You can drown yourself going out in the world and traveling and kind of use that to drown your worries. There's all sorts of ways to do this. Because it's easy to pretend that everything is going to continue on. It's easy to pretend that, well, this is how things seem to have been going for a while, so they're just going to keep going that way. It's easy for us to think, I've got plenty of time to get back into the Bible. I've got plenty of time to work on my relationship with God. I've got time. It's easy to not worry about filling up your oil jugs, like our gospel reading talks about. It's easy to fall asleep. Yet, that is not what we are supposed to do. We are children of the light. We are children of the day. And recognize that what part of what this means is that you have literally been enlightened. You have had the light put in you. For you have been given the way, the truth, and the life. You have been given the light of the world who is in your hearts. And part of that, part of being enlightened, means that you know the truth. You know what the world is destined for. That is destruction. And you know what will happen to those who don't believe. That is destruction. But you also know what Christ did for you. You know exactly why Christ had to come. He had to come because it's so easy for us to fall asleep. If it were up to us to save ourselves, we would fall asleep in the middle of it because we get so distracted by everything going on around us that we lose our soberness. But Christ didn't. Jesus came because he knew that we were weak. Because he knew that we couldn't do it by ourselves. And so he came, and he died, and he did it all for us. And you know this. You have been enlightened. You know this truth. And so then, even now, as we live our lives in this world, you are free to stay awake, to be sober, to not let your brain get caught up in all the pleasures and things of this world. You are free to put on the breastplate of faith and love. Faith and love which will protect you from that which is attacking you. To wear the hope of salvation as a helmet. Recognizing that our hope is not in this world, but is instead in the next world. For God has not destined us for wrath. He knew what the plan was. From the very beginning, even before Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, God knew what was going to happen, and he had a plan. And that plan was not our destruction. It was our salvation. He planned for his Son to come, who would die for us. And recognize what Paul says here. Recognize the wonderful thing that this means for us. It means that even if we fall asleep, even if we forget, that our Lord doesn't. Our Lord will come for us. And when he comes, whether we are awake or asleep, he comes so that we might live with him. He comes to wake us up. He comes to reignite the faith that is inside of us. He's doing that even now as he comes and you hear his word speaking the truth to you. As you come forward in just a few moments to receive his very body and blood. And he'll do it again on the last day. He will come. And he comes to bring you life. You are free, therefore, in this life, to encourage one another, to build one another up. I don't know if we talk about this as much as we should. That part of what we're supposed to do as a gathering of Christians, as a gathering of the children of the day and the children of the night, we are supposed to encourage one another. So in the same way that being enlightened means to have the light put in you, to be encouraged means to have courage put in you. That's what it literally means. I suppose if you want to use another definition, you can talk about how we are supposed to give support to each other, to give confidence to each other, and perhaps most importantly of all, to to give hope to one another. We are children of hope. And this is not some kind of blind hope. It's not that we don't realize that the world is going bad. It's not that we don't realize that we ourselves are not as good as we should be. We're not. We do fall asleep. We lose our sobriety sometimes. We sometimes look more like the world than we do like children of the day. But Jesus knew that too. Jesus comes and he dies for those times that we fail, for those times that we fall asleep. And he encourages us to keep striving, to keep trying, to keep trying to stay awake. And this is one of the primary purposes of the church and the gospel. That in a world of darkness, in a world of despair and loneliness, we get to be a place where we give courage to each other. We get to be a place where we give that support and that confidence, where we suffer together sometimes, and where we give hope to each other. Jesus wants us to have courage in the face of fear. There is a lot of fear in this world. He wants us to be supported in our sufferings. And there is much suffering in this world. He wants us to be confident in the truth that you have heard even today. And he wants you to have hope. Hope in him. In what he did for you on the cross. Because that's where all of these things come from. They don't come from yourself. You don't have to somehow muster up your own courage. You don't have to muster up your own hope. God has given it to you. He's given you the reason to have courage. He's given you the reason to have hope because he has given you the forgiveness of your sin. We are free to be a place where we build each other up. Right now, especially, the world seems to be a place that is all about tearing people down. It's all about shouting people down, silencing people, trying to get people to look more like you. That's what this world seems to be doing. But we don't have to be that way. In fact, we shouldn't be that way. We are free to be a people who, when we gather together, we are striving to build each other up. In order to do this, we do need to be careful not to tear people down. It's easy to do this, even in the church. And we do this for what we think are good reasons sometimes. Sometimes we'll see things, even here in the church, that aren't quite the way that we think they should be. And we think we know who it is that's causing it, and so we go and we talk to them, and we try to convince them that, well, maybe you should try and do it a different way. And sometimes that tears those people down. Because not everybody serves like you do. Not everybody in the church is going to look exactly like you do. They're not going to live lives that are exactly like yours. It's easy, even here in the church, to allow fear to control us. Fear of maybe there aren't as many people in the pews as we would like to see. Fear of maybe so many people are, we just don't have as many people to go and do what we want to do. Maybe fear of what's going to happen with my children and my grandchildren. There's so much fear. And it's easy to let it control us. It's easy to let that fear tear ourselves down and also to tear other people down with it. But that's not who we are. We are children of the day. We are children of the light. We are children of God. And when we gather together, you are free to allow hope to drive you. You are free to allow hope to be spread out to you, to others around you. For that is why we gather, to share our hope, to share the truth that has been shared with us, and to bring that hope even to others who haven't ever heard of it before. You are free to be the children of the light, to be the children of the day, for that is who you are because of what Christ has done for you. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.